Today's text is found in Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 1, and then we'll move ahead to verses 4 through 7. It is found in your pew Bible on page 676 and 677, if you wish to follow with me as I read them. Listen now and hear God's word for you. First, from verse 1. These are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me again. Loving God, we thank you for this, your word. And as we consider this, what Jeremiah has to say to us, help us to take what can be a distance message, something for them, for those people in the scriptures, and help it to become ours. Help us to take ownership. And by taking ownership, we share it. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this together as well. Amen. Just like on Tuesday, they'll go back to school and they will like it because they've been told to. One immutable truth that you and I cannot escape is that all are called. All are called to discipleship. All are called to ministry. All are called to mission. And all means not just every race or gender or class, but every age, mental, physical ability too. The question of Christian vocation and of calling from God will arise and continues to arise at every single stage of life and development. For every single person, every one of us is called. But what happens when we stop believing that to be true? It's easy for me to stand up here and say, we are all called. But what happens when the substance of that stops being believed in our hearts? What happens when an individual, maybe a group of individuals, like a local church, begin to believe that they are not called to discipleship, to ministry, to mission any longer? What happens when we say, or say by our actions, or even by our thoughts that are not shared, well, that's someone else's call, not mine. I don't have to worry about that any longer. And dismiss it like I just did three times with a wave of the hand. Such is the case for the Israelites in Jeremiah 29 who received this letter. Contextually, the Babylonians have overrun God's people in the Holy Land. The defeat, as we know historically, is massive and it is widespread. It will take a long time to clean up the devastation, not to mention the emotional scars that will live long after the battles are over and the fires have been put out and things have sort of been righted if they can be. But the defeat that they're dealing with is not simply physical. The Babylonians destroyed not just buildings and cities and homes, the temple, but as was their custom, the invading Babylonians have carried off the most influential Israelites that could be found and placed them in exile in a foreign land. Now, as this text is read, some are left behind. The influencers are over here, and the rest are over here. Those viewed by the conquerors and by the locals when they were sought out as the unnecessary. These people are judged to not matter. Interestingly, the not mattering group, it's That's where we find Jeremiah the prophet. His message and his personhood are unwanted by the influential Israelites of his day, by the church, by the local government, and by the locals who saw him coming down the street, message in hand. Remember, he has spent a lot of time before this chapter gets here reminding the people they need to repent, telling them the consequences of their failure to repent, letting them know that God is not going to hold back this invasion much longer. You've got to turn and change your lives. But as happens, people grow tired of gloom and doom. They did for Jeremiah. So the prophet's standing is disqualified, and he is left behind. The ruling family, the most influential in the remaining society, they're carried away into Babylon with the words of their false prophets, who are also influential, at least in their minds, carried to this place as well. These false prophets telling their rulers, their government officials, the high in society, don't worry about this. It's just a matter of time till we go home. We're too important to be left behind. Their feeling is akin to the cliche, we'll all be home by Christmas. There is no point in getting to know the neighbors you see in the village or living as God instructs us in the local community and the world. We won't be here long enough for it to matter. It doesn't matter. But that's not God's plan. All are called to discipleship. All are called to ministry. All are called to mission, even if the all doesn't feel responsible for it at all. Living this way, thinking this is not my home and therefore I have no responsibility here to live out my calling or as a follower of God, made the Israelites and the exiled Israelites very unpopular in their new Babylonian community and among their Babylonian neighbors. In fact, Eugene Peterson goes so far as to say that these influential, high-born government people of Israel who received chapter 29 from Jeremiah, he calls them parasites living in Babylonian land. Parasites. Not usually a term of endearment, I would say, when speaking of God's holy, selected, covenant-protected people, but that's how they lived. By not seeing or believing that God placed them in this Babylonian community among these strangers for some reason related to ongoing discipleship, ministry, and mission, not just as a punishment for sin, the Israelites missed the opportunity to practice discipleship. And in our terms, with our words, and to grow the kingdom. They missed the opportunity to become an important and necessary evangelical part of the community, opting for a more exclusive stance of why should we contribute to this community? Why should we make friends here? Why should we become some part of something larger? This is not my home. I just don't care about you. That was their thinking in the day. But in reflection, as I think about that, I begin to wonder, is it not possible that God does place us in locations with people, in situations that while appearing on the outside, something I could complain about, something negative that challenges me to deal with, could it actually serve God's purpose in that other person's life? Have we not all been in situations where we were sure that the immediate need of the moment could not possibly be anything having to do with God, only to, upon reflection, realize it was God who took us by the hand and led us to that very moment for something about discipleship and ministry and mission. This is what the people hearing Jeremiah 29 missed. Sure, Babylon was an exile, and it was not something they dreamt about or believed God could use for the glory of the kingdom. But maybe that was God's plan. By telling the people to create homes, to get jobs, to marry and to marry off their children, be good citizens, as one commentator writes it, and pray for the prosperity of the people who conquered you, God encouraged the people through daily faith and life practices to live out what they believe in a foreign context. Demonstrate your faith each day in the way you live when you're with people. For us today, be the church. even when the location where we're asked to be the church seems as far-fetched and impossible as one could be. As we all learned on the mission trip, didn't we? And as I said during the presentation, living as Christ by caring for people, working with them, with the people, was much stronger than anything we said while we were there. Just being in solidarity and knowing that in that solidarity, God was doing something, even if I couldn't put my finger on it in the moment. That's what the Israelites missed by not being with the Babylonians. That's what helped them become parasites on a community, not part of the community, growing it in a way that God intended and God can see and use. As they missed the call and the possibility to live into it, the Israelites not only missed the immediate moment where they could be who God calls them to be, but they missed the blessing of when the work is done and when they return to the Holy Land. The received blessing is the second thing that happens in this text. The testimony and the blessing that would come because they and we participate in God's work would not happen if the people who heard the word did not join themselves with their neighbors. Just a few verses below the passage I read, down a couple lines, are the famous words you all know, that Jeremiah nestles in with this call of discipleship, of mission and ministry. He says, I'm using God's words, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and give you a future. That future, those hopes, those plans could physically be anywhere, but it was always a place where God was first and foremost, a place they may not have wanted to go. Exile is no fun for anyone. Being in a hard context is hard, but a place where God is. For us to consider, is there not a blessing that comes when we realize that God was there the whole time? Not just that God took us by the hand and led us to a place we didn't know we wanted to go, but when we got there and set up shop to find out, God was already sitting on the symbolic couch, waiting for us, looking for us, expecting us, anticipating us, and we learned things because of that. Just like God was with these influential Israelites, or could be in Babylon. They could benefit, the influential and the community, from hearing the stories of a God who covenanted with his people to never forsake them, to always be with them. But while this type of living and thinking, honestly, is not something we're struggling with here at Plains, it is not a far cry from becoming who the church generally can be if we are not attentive to what God is saying and where God is placing us. Too many people that you know can live in opposition to this text. They can become the spiritual parasites on the community. I'm thankful that's not you today, but it can become you if you are not careful. We are called to be Christians in a community that does not always define itself as Christians. They may not value what you value. Instead, making that something that divides us from them, instead of doing that, why can that division not become a source of testimony about how God is capable of taking us by the hand, leading us in a direction we didn't think we wanted to go, but when we got there, something wonderful happened because God and we and you were there. God is active and present here in this church. And that conclusion is not in doubt by me or by any of you, I'm sure. But if we start acting and thinking as the people did, thinking our home is not a potential mission field, a discipleship field, a place to do ministry, then we can miss what God could be doing here in the future. And we will become just like the Israelites who struggled and suffered and ultimately became defined as parasites. Instead, you are called to practice your faith, to love those around you who might not want to love God as much as you do. We are called to pray, to contribute, to bless, to be present with others. As we do so, we find the opportunity of testimony growing. And somehow, we find ourselves part of a plan that blesses and prospers and cares. Not just for us, but for the community from which we take our roots and grow out of. The exiles in this passage rejected this completely. They ridicule Jeremiah and his words. He's called the weeping prophet for a reason. But what happens in our lives when we participate in the life of the community? What happens when our faith is lived out in more than just words and becomes an affirmation as part of our call? All are sent into mission. All are sent to ministry. And all are called to be disciples, even if the context doesn't always feel like that's where God's calling us to be. Let us now pray together.